My name is Emily Wharton, and I'm the Curriculum and Technology Coordinator at Blind Incorporated in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'm legally blind. I've been legally blind since I was a kid. I've always had some vision. I grew up reading print really kind of slowly with the big thick glasses and all that, and didn't learn Braille until I was about in college. I started learning Braille because it became really clear to me that I needed to.
What's your role here at the NFB convention?
Well, this morning I was speaking about the system of Braille instruction that we've been working on at Blind Inc. We call it the Codemaster system. And we're working on a new way of teaching Braille to adults where we leverage a lot of the skills and things that adults have, because we're not really teaching them how to read, we're just teaching them the Braille code, and we're teaching them how to detect things with their fingers. So we're breaking the process of, you know, learning to read Braille down into those parts and trying to make it simpler and faster and less stressful for adults who want to learn Braille.
During your talk this morning, Emily, you talked about helping a man to learn to use Braille who had no arms.
Yeah, that was kind of my opening line. I wanted to see what responses I get, because I had a situation where I was working with a gentleman just on a short-term basis because he was doing staff training for working for our state agency, and he had no arms, and I was supposed to teach him Braille. And my original impulse is, how do you teach somebody Braille that has no arms? Mm. But I realized that I was not, you know, thinking creatively enough about how this would work. And so with the system that we use, because we use so many drills and memorization, and we use a lot of writing of Braille with a 6-key in particular. So we were, with those skills, he could do the typing with his feet, you know, the 6-key entry with his feet, and he could memorize. He's a sharp guy, and he could, you know, work on memorizing the code. And so he could learn, you know, the Braille code that way. Had it been an actual student who was going to be there longer, we would have, you know, brainstormed and picked out more ways for him to read Braille tactily. Yeah. And whether he was doing that with his toes, or, you know, maybe with his nose, or whatever would work for him. He'd grown up that way, so he was really good at using his feet for everything. He used his feet in industrial arts class to run the table saw and all the saws and stuff like that. He figured out ways of doing that. So, you know, it's just about being imaginative and creative and coming up with different ways of, you know, well, maybe you can't do it this, you know, leveraging what you do have.
Yeah. Yeah, you made a point as well to talk about what he did have, and of course he does have a brain. You know, he's not someone that should be just disposed of because of his disabilities.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the same thing with blindness. You know, a lot of people think that, oh, blind person, what are we going to do? But no, it's just going to do things differently. You know, it's do all the same things, just going to do them differently. Yeah. And that's okay, because the world needs different kinds of people.
Yeah, absolutely. How important is Braille nowadays for visually impaired Americans?
Braille is, I know some people get mad at me when I say this, but Braille is just essential to literacy. If you can't even, I mean, I love technology as much as anybody, and I use speech, huge amounts of speech, but there is something so essential about being able to take something down and have it on a piece of paper in front of you, because there's never a battery involved in that. You're never going to worry that your slate is going to run out of juice. But also just for so many different situations, to have that kind of flexibility, to be able to use audio, you know, on large scale things where it's more efficient to you, but be able to use Braille when it makes a big difference. And it does in so many situations, like editing. Mm. Editing a document is so much easier in Braille than it is with speech, because there's just so many situations where having Braille is so much better and of an alternative to speech, that to limit yourself to just speech and not take the advantage of having Braille is just really cutting yourself off from something that is so incredibly useful and so incredibly flexible.
Mm. How do you see Braille and technology working together for the future?
Well, I've got a lot of dreams about the future with Braille and technology, but Braille displays are amazing, and I think if we can get them cheaper and bigger and multi-line and better, I wish I were an engineer so that I could design this myself, that, you know, that surfaces will be able to be able to just produce braille that will just pop up from the surface, like in kind of a liquid braille that will become, and so like the surface of your iPhone or your tablet would just be able to bubble up braille as needed. And the technology is starting to get there. They've got, they're starting to work on that. But so much, and if you watch the kind of the evolution of computers and technology, screens aren't going away. There's a reason screens aren't going away, because they're silent and they're private in a lot of situations. And what's directly analogous to that silent privateness of print for sighted people is braille for blind people. To have that kind of flexibility. I was sitting in a graduation ceremony, and the way graduation ceremonies work, so you show up there to cheer for like 5 seconds for the one person you know, and then you're sitting through the whole rest of the ceremony, right? And a friend of mine who was sitting next to me, I saw her pull out her braille display and get a whole bunch of work done while she's sitting there very covertly and quietly and efficiently, and it was just like, you know, just kind of like somebody looking down at their screen, you know, just really casually, like, and I'm like, man, I need a braille display.
You can get so much done and have fun at the same time.
Yeah, but just that kind of professionalism and just flexibility, and it just opens up so many more possibilities.
I love the idea of what you mentioned earlier, liquid braille. Do you really think that we'll see that in the near future?
I'm open. It would be really... I mean, I've seen some things that technology is starting to get there, and it would be really... amazing, particularly not just for braille, but also any kind of tactile representation, you know, raised line drawings and such. Like, I mean, there's a lot of people doing really cool stuff in that area right now. There's some amazing guys who I met at the Touch of Genius ceremonies who are doing really cool things with a braille display or a braille tactile drawings that you can put into on this pad, and it will put it into the computer, and then it put it into a printer, and you can make more of them, and then you can erase them, and you can add them, and there's all kinds of amazing implications for that kind of stuff. Technology adds to braille, adds to the possibilities of braille. It doesn't take away from it. It just makes it even more possible and more fast, and it just more usable.
Do you think that when technology and braille does develop further in the future, do you think that it will become more popular?
I mean, I hope so. I hope that it should. And I really think that a lot of... But what that has to be is that, you know, that blind people just getting out there and talking about and helping other blind people understand the importance of Braille, getting it in the schools, getting kids Braille so that they grow up reading Braille and don't have to learn it as adults if that's a... You know, everybody, there's going to be people who lose sight later in life and have to learn it as adults. But, you know, kids should be getting Braille. When people... get to know Braille. Braille is kind of like sometimes a stranger to people, that they don't, somebody had told them once that it's hard, and they told them once that they can't really use it for much, or they told it that it's really slow. And then they believe that, and they don't get to know Braille any further than that, then they're just really missing out, because none of those things are true. And they don't have to be. Even if you're not a huge novel reader, you don't want to sit down and read, you know, you're not a big reader, but there's always something that you want to read, and there's always something that you want to be able to do, you know, privately. And there's always things that you need. And Braille is really the best way to do that.